The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Yeah.
Greetings.
Oh, Andy, you switched avatars right in midstream there.
Yeah. I don't know. I was looking at some different state flags and state seals and stuff earlier today, kind of relation, no relation to the conversation we had a few weeks ago. And I was like, I want to try to make the Illinois one as lame as possible. And I just found this random picture of a cob of corn over the state, and I was like, "That's perfect. I'm just going to make it that for now." And
so that's not official or anything.
No, I mean, not
that's
yet,
too bad. You know. Yeah, you should send that into someone.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's a holiday week here for most of, yeah, I guess, North America.
You're the first to wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving,
such as it is.
That's my Chris Berman.
Yeah, you don't do your impressions too much anymore, Zach. We got to bring those back.
Well, we'll get it next Monday when I say, "Let me be the last to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving."
All right,
as he gets to do it like before and after. Anyway,
I saw a thing with Chris Berman. It was an advertisement. Just kind of it was NFL primetime. Just is still going on,
right? They have it on ESPN Plus, him and Booger.
Right. And it was a commercial, so obviously it wasn't the whole, I didn't watch any of the stuff, but it just seems very tired. He seems very like the energy, like you can tell he's still going through some of the motions and saying the things, but
he's playing the hits.
Man, I mean he's getting up there now. He's
he's gotta be.
I do think it's odd because like the audience for the Chris Berman shtick isn't necessarily the audience that is on ESPN Plus. Like they're not necessarily going to go to their streaming. So you'd think you'd make that a little bit more accessible to the olds, as it were.
I think there's a rights thing involved in that, actually, as far as being
probably
able, because I think Sunday Night Football, I don't know the particulars of it, but Sunday Night Football has this thing where they get first dibs on all the highlights after the games or something, and that's why primetime had to go away back when the contract changed and blah, blah, blah.
But they brought primetime back on regular ESPN when TJ was still there. And then once he retired, Berman also went away, so they got rid of the show. Right? They tried to bring it back with like Trey Wingo and somebody else. It's like it's not the same thing.
It's like trying to recast Seinfeld. You just can't do it. It is what it is.
So they moved everything around, and Berman was just going to be in retirement, and then I guess it got bored, I don't know, and decided like, no, I want to come back and do this. So like, well, we can't put it on TV, but we'll put it on streaming. I'm surprised he even said yes, because I would think Chris Berman, with the ginormous ego that guy has, that he would be like, no, I want to. I haven't taken the time to watch it because, like, I don't know, I get enough NFL highlights as it is. I don't need to tune into primetime on a streaming service on a Sunday night.
It's definitely a nostalgia thing. I mean, that was huge back when I was in my 20s, my late 20s, early 30s. So it's been a long, long time. It was the greatest thing in the world back then because we didn't have anything else to go to. But now I'm with you. I think that putting a show that's basically appealing to my demographic on a streaming service does seem kind of counterintuitive, for lack of a better description, but
if you're gonna bring back primetime on ESPN Plus, get one of your young up and coming anchors that you know is whoever you think that next Stuart Scott is, for example, just to make some sort of cultural connection, and then get another quirky analyst to jump in there and let them go do something new and fun, but like to try to play the classics on ESPN Plus, it seems odd. Again, I haven't checked it out. I of the streaming services I have, ESPN Plus is definitely the one that doesn't get as much use as it probably could. But I mean, I have it because it was a cheap bundle with Disney Plus and Hulu. It was all three of them together is like $13. So
I loved when Berman and Tom Jackson did Primetime, and I would watch it, but I'm not going to spend $5 a month just for that because there's nothing else on there that appeals to me really.
Right.
So
they it's have just one like of those things. They have the whole 30 for 30 library. And
that might be worthwhile.
They have that details show with Peyton Manning, like breaking down stuff.
Okay.
And like there is a good archive of stuff, but like, I have so many other services and beyond just like streaming services, like live programming with sports or news or YouTube or et cetera. Like
Should we bring Mike in or should we make him wait a little bit longer?
No, make him wait until halftime.
Somebody put in the chat that we voted to make him wait until halftime.
We'll make him wait till last year in the fourth quarter, just like Tom Brady.
Here's what we'll do. We'll bring him in just to tell him he has to wait till halftime. Here we go. Hey, Mike. All right, that's it.
All right. Yeah, that's enough. No, bring him back. Mike, I'm just glad that this game doesn't start for another hour and a half, or I might just like.
I am wearing my Bucko Bruce T-shirt. So
yeah, okay. I've got my Aaron Donald jersey ready to tear that stupid knife out of Bucko Bruce's mouth and shove it down his throat.
How dare you?
How dare you? Look what you've become, Michael.
I didn't sell out. I bought in.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
God. No, I take it you guys were talking about ESPN Plus?
Yes.
Yeah. I've got the same deal Zach's got where I bundled it. I got in a bundle with Hulu and Disney Plus and I thought it was going to be the one I watched the least, but it's got a lot of good stuff on it. So,
yeah, there's stuff on there.
So not to shill for Disney or anything.
I was going to say we're not getting paid here, fellas.
Not to shill for Disney, but it's good. It's if you like sports, it's good.
If you go to ESPNplus.com/BASS, we get
the promo code.
No, that's you and Mike are pimping this. So this is SASS, supposedly a sports show. not an official Bass endorsement there.
Yeah, well, we're gonna talk as much as we want about the jerseys, Greg.
Basically. Yeah, Greg, I don't know if you saw, but there's another 31 retro reverse jerseys. They're flipping it again this week.
Okay.
And it's what the jerseys would be if they used old logos, but 30 years in the future and the past at the same time.
That sounds very interesting.
That does it kind of seems like Adidas is just straight up going like, what CCSLC threads can we like? I'm pretty sure all of these have been concept threads at some point.
Or they're just going, how can we piss off that community over there this week? Let's try this. Let's see how many of them get mad.
You think Andrew Harrington is actually a spy that's just like outwardly trolling us, like in public?
You know, I don't know about that, but I got to be honest. There have been times I've wondered because there's some it used to be back when Concepts was good, and you know you could navigate it, but there was like a lot of really outstanding work on there, and I've always wondered like if somebody would just how would you even prove it if somebody snuck in and said, boy, I like that idea, I'll kind of tweak a few things here and there, and I'll go to wherever. Not Andrew, I'm not saying he would do that, but you've got to wonder. I've never seen anything pop up and go, wait, we saw that before. But I can't help but think that at somewhere along the way that somebody on our boards inspired something that found its way into the league.
I think anything that's been close enough to something that's on the boards is usually one of those things where
everybody
creative in the first place.
Right,
exactly. Like there is just a degree of just like, oh, that's just an idea that's in the ether. Like I'm not I don't think I'd accuse Adidas of ripping anyone off if they came out with like a Senators jersey. It's like, oh, but we modernized the barber pole. It's like, that's an obvious thing to do.
That's kind of what I thought about a lot of the reverse retros. Like again, I like them a lot more than some, but like It's also kind of like
really like some. I also like, oh,
we're just gonna. How many times do you go in those concept threads and be like, "Hey, it's the old jersey, but in the new colors," and you're like,
"It's
whoa.
Like guys, blow your mind, guys. Gretzky jerseys, but in like the old purple and gold," mm-hmm. and it's like,
"How many times yeah. do you figure we've seen the Nordiques jersey and Avalanche colors before they finally released it?"
I mean,
oh, more than a handful.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Again, though, I just want to say, they should have given us the wolf. Nordiques jersey, come on! Yeah. Like.
I want to shift gears really quick here, and Zach, you're gonna whatever you're doing, you'll have time to take a minute to do it here. Our number one listener, Chaos Blast, and I'm not aware of this. The Undertaker has officially retired. Is that true?
The Undertaker has retired a lot, and it's wrestling, so I don't buy like.
No,
he has, and I fully believe that. Like as of now, he is sincere and he wants to retire, but it's also wrestling where like. People who have said like, oh, I'm retiring and I'm never coming back have come back. Like for the longest time, Shawn Michaels was like the one who actually stuck to it. He had his last match and he retired. Ironically, his retirement match was against The Undertaker. But he did that thing where he was like, I'm never going to come back. And for a while, it seemed like he was going to be like the one wrestling retirement where it actually stuck.
Well, let me ask you this.
And then he came back anyways for, you know, so it doesn't matter.
The character... Forget. Did Mark Calloway retire? That might be a better question.
Yeah, well, the character, the wrestler, the dude, they're not going to get anyone else to be the Undertaker.
Well, no, I just want to say to Chaos Blast that if it weren't for the Undertaker, I don't know that I'd have even been aware of the last however many years it's been of WWF and then WWE wrestling. He is by far and away, without anybody even being a close second, my favorite character they've ever come up with. And wrestling going all the way back to like Bobo Brazil and the old regional days and all that.
The funny thing about it is that the character should have died in like the 90s because it's kind of dumb. It's like what, had a wrestling zombie, but like Mark Calloway was just so good at it that he made it this iconic thing. In a fair universe, right? Like the Undertaker would not survive as a concept because it's just dumb, but.
No, especially when you got to the Attitude Era, and now he doesn't fit at all.
Well, the Attitude Era was really funny because like they were just like, well, what do we do with him?
And make him a Harley rider.
And it's like, well, he's gonna be like satanic now. Like, but because he became a Harley rider, but before he was a Harley rider, he was like satanic cult leader Undertaker. Which
okay, kind of like what's that new guy, Bray Wyatt, that kind of does that gig now.
Kind of, but more Hot Topic. Like the Undertaker really got into the black eyeliner at one point. It was interesting.
Well, I guess go ahead, Andy.
No, I'd say, but retirement to kind of further on Mike's point about wrestling retirements, just to give you an idea. So, the one that comes to mind, and I just watched some documentary stuff about this, is Terry Funk. I don't know if that name comes to mind for you.
Yeah.
So Terry Funk retired for the first time in. Let me see. I think it was 19. Oh, damn.
Oh, I got
1977.
Are you tired about that? I gotta welcome my bandmate and brother Rob to the show here, listening live and chiming in with his take on the Undertaker there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Terry
Funk retired for the first time in 1977. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how long that lasted before he came out. He's retired probably upwards of like 12 times. And he's still wrestling. He retired in 2015, and I think he just came back again. He's like 76 years old.
Okay.
And he's still coming back. So, I mean, The Undertaker, to further what Roland said there, is it Roland or Rollin, whichever.
It's Rob, actually, but Rob, yeah, he's a friend, anyway. Good friend of mine. I've known him longer than you guys have been alive.
He's been doing press in a rather unconventional way for professional wrestling to where it's completely out of character. And, I mean, obviously for him, that's... fairly hard to do or hard not to do because it's like he did like the Hot Ones YouTube series. He was on that and he was just Mark Calloway, but you know, he's still the Undertaker. It's just like he's not going to be on there like cutting a promo as a living corpse or whatever, like so that's a little bit unconventional. Go ahead, Mike, because I wanted to reiterate.
Oh, no, no. I was just going to say, you know, with Terry Funk, it's become the point. It's become just a thing where it's like a joke. Like, oh, Terry Funk retired again. Okay, whatever.
Well, see, with regard to him, I was thinking with Mark Calloway / The Undertaker that maybe because he's how old is he now at this point? He's got to be in his 50s, right? Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, is 50s?
At least.
Yeah.
55. Yeah.
55. So, yeah, he's right about in my age group. So it's like, dude. You know, I mean, granted, I'm not near the shape he's in, but I couldn't go out there and do that shit today. I mean, for more than 5 minutes.
If you've watched any Undertaker match from the last,
he can't do it anymore either.
Yeah, he can't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's the depressing part. I mean, you know, wrestling is sort of a unique medium, and I know Zach's probably got a gun in his mouth with all the wrestling.
Right.
I'll remember this next time you fuckers want to talk about soccer or some trash.
I'm going to talk about the MLS playoffs on our next segment.
Oh, God. Well, all right. All right.
I'll be on mute.
Tune in for the first ever dual suicide on a sports podcast. Is Andy?
Yeah. So I mean, because with like an older athlete, like compared to say like a Derek Jeter retirement tour, or I'm trying to think of who some of the major athletes who basically like Vince Carter just had one. I think he did anyway. That might have been cut off because of COVID. But a lot of guys in various major big four leagues say, you know, this is my last year. I get a nice year where I go around and everyone kind of just gives me standing ovations and celebrates their career and stuff like that. But I think with certain sports, namely like football is obviously a good comparison to wrestling, for example, but football, it's like more of a, you say things like, yeah, the guy's lost a step, or it's usually like an offensive lineman. Like I think the Rams, like Andrew Whitworth, he's like 40 years old and he's still playing like left tackle or right tackle.
Yeah, 39.
And I mean, he's still, as far as I know, he's still acceptable and still a starter.
Yeah. I mean, he tore his MCL last week. So he's out for 8 weeks.
Who did?
Andrew Whitworth, left tackle for the Rams.
Okay. Go ahead, Andy.
Either way, I mean, basically you look at it as a sort of, because it's a team sport, there's this, you know, obvious degradation in performance story. You say, oh, well, you know, he's in his mid to late 30s, multiple knee injuries, shoulder injuries, whatever. But with a professional wrestler, it's like you're one guy out there like headlining against another guy or on a marquee stage, in The Undertaker's case, performing the biggest show of the year and getting a spotlight. And, you know, you've got all year, you've got 11 months to train for this thing. And then, you know, you put your best foot forward. And sometimes, you know, when that happens, when you're as old and as beat up as him, you get kind of exposed as not being able to keep up at all. And when you're that big and you're that hurt, you get sloppy and your matches get pretty bad. So bit of a different retirement tour.
Taking it back to football, based on that, you don't see a lot of retirement tours in football. It seems like the guys just kind of go away. Every once in a great while, I'll get one. Like, I'm trying to think it's tough off the top of my head to think of even a player that said, this is my last year. And we celebrated that. They all just kind of,
I mean, the closest I could think of is that Brett Favre could have had that.
Yeah.
Like he could have, you know, if he had kept his word, I think in his first retirement, like he could have been like, yeah, the season's my next season. He could have had a nice send off, but he kept unretiring. He kept coming back. And then what ended up happening with him is what tends to happen with football players in general, is that there is no nice send off. He just kept playing until one season it was clear he was too old to play and he sucked. And then he got hurt and he faded away. And it's like, and I guess that's particularly tragic because with Favre, it's like there was a chance for him, like if he had just kept his word again, to have had that nice retirement season. Yeah. But
even Peyton Manning, he didn't announce it until after the year was over.
Right.
You know, people might have suspected that it would have been his last year, but he could have kept going if he really wanted to. It's the same thing that's going on with like Drew Brees. Like
I was
going to
say, yeah, Drew Brees is a good.
Like Drew Brees is maybe the one where it's like, this most people believe this was going to be his last year, and now that he has 11 broken ribs
and a collapsed lung,
Holy shit. Like maybe it's time to be done there, Drew. But now he's not going to get that year long celebration of him that he could have had because he wanted to keep playing until he was done, like most of these NFL guys do. And now he's broken, and so now he's going to stand there on the sidelines in a mask.
Well, speaking of Drew Brees. speaking of Drew Brees, I got to give the Saints credit for going old school Chicago Bears and bringing in the modern day version of Bobby Douglas to play quarterback yesterday.
It's so wild. This is the, like, we don't, some of you guys still play fantasy football. I haven't gone into it, but I know Taysom Hill has created an interesting problem.
Yeah.
For fantasy football people, because in like ESPN leagues, he's officially listed as a tight end.
Yes.
Weird.
You play two quarterbacks a week if you have him on your team. Essentially.
I think I wrote a thing ESPN is going to change that this week because that's just really unfair. I mean, how many tight ends are there in the NFL? Even if Taysom Hill has an average game, he's still going to put up 15 to 18 points.
Yeah, it's the same.
There's no tight end in football does that on a weekly basis ever.
I think in most baseball leagues, like they had to split Shohei Ohtani into two people to so that you didn't get like hitting stats for a pitcher and like, vice versa.
Like Bone Tomahawk style or just,
you know? Yeah, just like from the middle. So they couldn't do that with Hill, like, because I just think it's kind of funny that instead of saying like, no, we're gonna go with our actual backup quarterback, they just said, no, Jameis Winston, you're still the emergency guy. We're gonna go with,
I mean,
with
Gadget over here. 30 for 30, so
you know, yeah. the weird thing about Taysom Hill is that if you were to ask me, like, if you were to guess, like, how old he was, you'd figure about 26, 25, 26. He's 30. He's got 30 going on 31.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, he's carved out a nice little career for himself.
Yeah, and I mean, but this is all he's been. I'm pretty sure he's always been a Saint. I don't have his page pulled up or anything.
I think that's
it's
right.
It's no Matt Flynn career, you know.
Well, no,
nobody has that.
This gadget player, and it was so weird because, like, he was a quarterback, and then they drafted him as a quarterback, and he always came in at, like, you know, two or three plays a game, and the broadcasters would flip out, like, oh, my God, Taysom Hill is on the field. Everyone watch. Everyone watch. He's going to do it. And then, like, he's just a decoy or something, or just hands it off.
He's really, though, one of – we've seen guys like this pop up over the years here and there. Sure. He's the one that kind of stuck. Like, he's been around. I mean, it seems to me like he's been doing this for 10 years now. And that might be off, but it's like he's been with the Saints.
I could swear he's only been doing this for like 3 years, but.
See, it seems longer to me. It was always the guy, like the Wildcat guy, like, oh, he's a quarterback. You don't know what he might do. And yesterday he finally got to start at quarterback, and they won. Of course, they beat the Falcons, so you got to give him a half a win for that. But he still did it. And what did he throw for, like 230 yards? But I saw some of his passes, and it's like, yeah, this is Bobby Douglas all over again. It's a guy that can run. If he has to throw, he will. But, you know,
So he was eligible for the 2017 NFL draft,
right?
Which is odd because he's the same age as me. So
did he go to the Army or something before he went to play college football or what?
No, what it is he went to BYU.
Oh,
so yeah, he went on his church mission out of high school.
He was knocking on my door, bothering me for 2 years in between. I got it. All
right. Right. And then he also had some season ending injuries while at BYU. He has 5 seasons listed on his BYU, college statistics, in addition to the 2 years that he spent on his mission, coming out of high school. He graduated high school in 2009. And then went on his mission for however long that took. Didn't start playing football at BYU until 2012, and then left BYU in 2016.
So he's only been around for 3 years.
Yeah, and he was signed.
Man, I swear it was longer than that.
Signed by the Packers as a free agent, played in some preseason games, then was waived and picked up by the Saints like the next day, and he's been with the Saints ever since.
You know, we've got to start.
Only 3 seasons, so
you've heard the Streisand effect, the Mandela effect. We've got to add the 2020 effect because nothing before last February, it doesn't fit the timeline anymore. Like, I could have swore Taysom Hill had been around for 10 years. It's only been 3. The St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup a year ago. It seems like 5 years ago. So we have to add the 2020 effect.
Again, this is a year where, you know, NASA said aliens exist and we discovered a parallel dimension where time moves backwards, and SETI like said that they got like massive like transmissions that are unlike any they've ever heard before, and nobody gave a shit. Like,
and Mike, with a perfect segue into something we should promo right now, upcoming soon to the holidays on Basically a Sports Show. Andy, you named it, you describe it.
So yeah. this needs more, like, we need to, like, give this thing a proper, like, bracket and fill it out. But essentially it's a bonus GTOV kind of event, but it's the ignominious tournament of disgrace. And it's essentially just a...
you just heard Mike. Yeah, Mike just ran off three definite entries right there when he ran up the three aliens.
Yeah, just like, God.
Yeah. Murder hornets. The guy that died in a motorcycle accident was written up as a COVID death. That kind of stuff. So we're gonna have a whole tournament around Christmas time, I guess. Yeah, it'll be a good time.
But I was so just Taysom Hill and his age, that whole weird thing. It just reminded me. It sent me down a weird rabbit hole on the side here, where I was researching. If you recall, Brandon Whedon. He was drafted.
Oh my God! Yeah,
28 years old when he was drafted.
Yeah, well, believe me. Tell me about it. No, maybe he did. I just know that he was from Oklahoma. Was it Oklahoma State or Oregon State? I don't remember. It was one of the Orange and Black or OSU schools.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Yeah,
but I think maybe he did play baseball or something. I'm pretty sure he did.
Like a couple years of minor league ball.
Well, you know what? Here's some advice. He should have stuck with it.
He's 37 years old now.
Wow! Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was drafted by the Yankees. He did some minor league ball.
He should have stayed there.
Yeah, he was drafted by the Yankees in 2002.
Didn't the Browns blow a
fire? Whoa. You're telling me you didn't enjoy the Brandon Whedon experiment?
Dude, it was more like the Brandon Whedon era when you're on this end of it. Believe me.
The era.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
So does that mean he's going to get like a whole wing in the stadium? Like this probably. Is like we commemorate the Brandon Whedon era of Cleveland Browns.
Speaking of my beloved Cleveland Browns, I have to have a little chat with the fans of that team right now.
Oh, okay.
All right. I don't know what our record's been for the past 10 years. I know what it's been for the past 20. It's been shit. Stop with the complaining. They're 7-3. They moved ahead of Miami and Baltimore in the playoff race. So they stopped the bitching, for fuck's sake.
Are Cleveland Browns fans complaining?
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
What are they complaining? You guys went 0-16 like 3 years ago.
Right. Or a year ago. It's hard to tell these days. It's a 2020 effect.
Or maybe 20 years ago. Right, I don't know. 20, right.
Somewhere in there, we didn't win any games. But I see them every day, and it's like, you got to fix the defense. It's like, what the fuck is the matter with you? You're 7-3, you know, and
that's undefeated by Brown standards.
Right, exactly. That is literally undefeated by Brown standards. It's like going 16-0 for anybody else. And they're whining and complaining. And this Cleveland Browns fan group is putting out like, what's wrong with the Browns? It's like nothing.
They're 7-3. It's fine.
To be fair, they're winning barely.
But here's the thing, and I don't think they're a good team. I've said that all along. I think they're fun. Yeah. They're competitive. But for four weeks in a row now, they have played in the most shit weather you could possibly have. So, you know, and they still managed to win.
That's just Cleveland, though.
Well, that's a byproduct of the factory of sadness. You just have a cloud that follows you wherever you go.
I know, but I'm just saying that I've never seen, and I get it. I get it if you're the old dynasty area Patriots and you're going, man, they're 7-3, but they don't look good. But it was 2 years ago they were like 2-14 and 0-16 before that, and you're complaining about being 7-3? Come on.
Seven wins is the most, ties the most the Browns have had since 2007.
Right.
And who do they play next week? Can they break it next week?
The Jaguars.
The Jags.
Yeah, okay. By next week, by this time next week, the Cleveland Browns will have 8 wins. All right.
In 2007, the Browns went 10-6. And then in the years following, they had 4 wins, 5 wins, 5 wins, 4 wins, 5 wins, 4 wins, 7 wins, 3 wins, 1 win, 0, 7-6.
2 winning seasons since they came back in 1999. 2. Mm-hmm. And you're all bitching because they're 7-3 and you don't like the way they look.
They're one game away from, you know, at least hitting .500 for the year.
I understand that they have some issues. I get it. But come on, they're 7-3. Just enjoy the ride. It's going to end quickly in the playoffs if they get there. But have fun.
You know what though? I think they're going to make the playoffs.
I mean, obviously.
For once, they are not the laughing stock of the entire NFL.
No,
for the first time in however long.
Okay,
instead of going, hey, we're not the laughing stock anymore, this is fun being a competitive playoff team. Oh, no.
Speaking of the laughing stock of the NFL, I just wanted to check something out for my own amusement. So yesterday, the New Orleans Saints defeated the Atlanta Falcons, and they killed them. It was 24-9, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to see
Taysom Hill, a quarterback, blew out.
Taysom Hill, a quarterback. So I wanted to. I'm checking the box score. All right. The Falcons were up 9-3 at one point. So another blown lead.
No, the Falcons, they didn't end up throwing a touchdown pass in that game. It's like the first time they haven't thrown a touchdown pass in any game since 2006.
Jesus. Wow. 14 years.
By the middle of the second quarter, it was 9-3 Falcons, and then New Orleans just went on a roll.
But on the other hand, if the Falcons were in the NFC East, they'd be tied for the division lead.
I mean, that's true. The division, the NFC East is beautiful.
It's perfect. It's a perfect little thing right now where you have the Washington 1932s at 3-7, the Dallas Cowboys at 3-7. The New York Giants at 3-7, and the one wrinkle, the Philadelphia Eagles in first place by mere percentage points at 3-6-1.
I got some numbers here, by the way, about this.
Okay.
Okay. The entire NFC East, these are the updated NFC East doom odds from Football Outsiders. For the winner of the East to finish 4-11-1 or worse is 0.003%. With 5-10-1 or worse, 4.1%. I'm sorry, these odds are for the entire division to finish with the same record. So it is possible that the entire NFC East finishes with a 7-8-1 record. 80.4%.
What? That would be beautiful. They're all 7-8-1.
This is compiled by Football Outsiders, I guess. The playoff, they play out the season 30,000 times, and they try to like eke out how this could work out. And it is dreadful.
Here's what I'd like to see happen. I want the Giants, the 32s, and the Cowboys to all finish at 6-10, and the Eagles to come in at 5-11-1. Yeah, no. 5-10-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'd be a half game back, yeah. Of a 6-10 division winner, they'd only finish a half game back. That's what I want to see happen.
I wanted to bring up, by the way, before I forget, with the ignominious tournament of disgrace, ITOD?
Yeah, ITD sounds more like a...
ITD, yes.
Like a transmittable disease, yeah.
So would you put the Joe Burrow injury on that list?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm kind of on the fence about it.
I'd put it as inevitable.
Yeah, right. It was going to happen whether it was 2020 or not. I'm with Zach on that.
Yeah. This could have been 2019. It could have been 2021. You put him with those Bengals, and he was going to get his knee blown out at some point. Which is too bad because, I mean, I think everybody is still on Justin Herbert, and I think Justin Herbert's good. I still thought that Joe Burrow was better.
I can't believe Herbert cut his hair too, man. He looks like an idiot.
I know. Now he looks like a like 10-year-old boy now. It's weird. I don't know. It is a shame to see Burrow go down like that. Well, but inevitable, probably.
So you say inevitable,
but also maybe better for the Bengals because now they can get somebody else good to put along with them.
Well, this is one of those things that I feel like we just become conditioned to as NFL fans to where it's like the ACL and MCL blown knees thing is just like every year. I think maybe I'm just numb to it. Maybe just we collectively as fans are numb to it, that it's just like I feel like most fans can diagnose an ACL severe knee injury at a glance, just because they've seen him so many times before. And it just makes me like hate football a little bit. I don't know what you do about it. If there is no way around it, because just, it's a fast game and guys are huge and knees are weak. And
especially like his injury where guys are just kind of getting pushed around, especially like offensive linemen pushing down defensive linemen around the quarterback's knees. It just,
yeah.
kind of happens.
Yeah, and his knee popped out, and then it popped back in. It was pretty nasty to watch. And oh, I didn't see it. Yeah, you don't want to watch it. He tore both his ACL and MCL. And I mean, that's not a, you know, death knell for his career, but it's just like, God damn it. Like, this is a pretty good rookie quarterback. Seems exciting. I don't want to watch him play. And nope, knee blown out. He may never be the same player. Hopefully, I'm sure he'll be pretty good, but it's like, God damn it. Like, why can't we just like have some sort of robotic knees, or just cut off all the legs of players when they enter the league, throw them into some sort of like a hay mill that just shreds the lower half, and then we just replace it with some sort of, you know, mechanical replaceable parts, and just spare us from this shit. It gets really old.
I think there's a lot of Bengals fans that are probably just a tad older than me that are going, oh my God, it's Greg Cook all over again. They had another guy like Burrow that just was the full package of quarterback, and I think he got hurt in his rookie season, which of course it's the Bengals, so of course he got hurt in his rookie season. But I'm trying to think, have there been other like quarterbacks? I think he'll come back, but I heard on the Bill Simmons podcast today it's not going to be more than likely in time for next season. It's going to be some point down the road.
Well, before they can even start working out again, it's at minimum 7, but more likely 9 months.
Wow.
And yeah, it might be different.
It's like a Bridgewater injury.
Yeah, I mean, some of these young guys are heal quicker, but like, also, if you're the Bengals, you're used to this. You saw it happen to Carson Palmer,
right?
So there's plenty of record of some of these quarterbacks, including Carson Palmer, that have these ACL injuries and come back the next year and are fine, or you know, they have great seasons coming off of that. So, and of course with the Bengals, like, this is still a project. So it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, like I said,
for them
to be bad this year and next year. Because what the hell? Go draft an offensive tackle.
Yeah,
go draft the number one receiver or linebacker or whatever. No, go invest in now, because you know what you have in your quarterback, so you can just draft for need everywhere else.
They need to go out and draft the next Anthony Munoz with the next number one pick they have to protect guy. But I was trying to think if they're obviously not in these days, because, you know, a knee injury like that isn't catastrophic. I mean, it is, but it's not like a career ender like it used to be back in the old days. And I was trying to think back if there had ever been a guy with that much hype coming in, that much, you know, promise, that made it, you know, 10 games into his rookie season and got his knee blown out and was never the same after that. And I'm sure they were out there in the 70s and 80s. I just can't think of who it is. But so that's the upside to it, is that with the advances we've made in surgery and all that, he'll be able to play again. Whereas if this had happened in, say, 77, he's probably done for good. So I guess there's that, if you're a Bengals fan.
Like, it's kind of like what Andy was talking about, where this has become so common.
Yeah.
That not only do we just kind of shrug it off like, oh, another ACL, but we also know that it can be fixed and he can still come back and be a successful player.
He tweeted before the news even came across the wire. He basically was like, I'll see you next year, guys. It's all good.
Yeah, I think he pretty much knew when he was going off on the cart that it was done.
They know. Yeah. They know. They all know him. They know immediately. Yeah, you can always tell. It's sometimes they take a different. I mean, the worst, like for Joe Burrow, you know, yeah, it's awful, and I'm sure, but you know, he's still very young and he's got, you know, a whole franchise invested behind him and getting him recovered. But like, and Matt, it's really heartbreaking when you're watching like preseason games or something, and you just see some guy, you know, like you said, Greg, random player number whatever 72. That's playing wide receiver for some reason. He like, you know, they'll just like pop, there it goes, non-contact injury, and you go, that guy's career's done.
Yep.
Like, that guy is over, and it's a shame. Or guys who college career who are probably going to go pro, and then nope, and those knees are gone.
The only other result from the weekend that I wanted to talk about, in terms of like something more than just the win and the loss, I don't trust Lamar Jackson at all. In terms of winning the big game at this point in his career.
Not a lot of reason to right now, to be completely blunt about it. There's not. Yeah.
Like, he was this offensive juggernaut, you know, last year, and now he's – like, the Ravens lost in overtime to the Titans yesterday. The Titans are, you know, mercurial as it is. But, like, this is a guy that has the elite Patrick Mahomes-level talent, but he – lacks that extra something.
Might I suggest that, I mean, what we're seeing with him is not all that unremarkable. The league catches up to a lot of these guys.
I was going to make that the same point, Mike. That was my question. Yeah.
I mean, yes, Lamar Jackson is a very talented player, but, you know, the league's got, as of the end of last season, the league has a full, the rest of the league had a full season of tape on him to figure him out. And it's one of those cases where, you know, can he adjust to account for that? So,
yeah, and I think that that's kind of what it becomes, right? When you've got a guy like him, mm-hmm. It becomes like a chess match. Okay, you got us this year. Now we figured you out. Now it's up to you to find a way to fool us again, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And that's not an uncommon football thing. I mean,
not at all.
You know, like there's plenty of coaches who, you know, have a very successful year. Like the first year that the Wildcat was out there, a few games anyway, at least, people were like, whoa, this is bizarre. You know, like, how do we work around this? And then within a few games, usually all it takes is when you see the one game where it gets stopped. As soon as it gets stopped, like the Wildcat, or say like there's a couple games where Lamar Jackson really, really struggled, maybe last year, where people were like, just take that tape, isolate it, and will this scheme, whether right. it's like QB spy or whatever, and it shuts it down. It's fairly straightforward, you know, and it's up to Jackson to kind of innovate and expand his game, and he hasn't done that.
Yeah, I mean, hell, the Chargers did it that first year, right? When he was in the playoffs, and they everyone was like, they brought in like an extra DB to play.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And they were like, no, we're gonna be faster than him and meet him at every point of attack, and that was kind of the first sign of like, well, that's something that he needs to improve on, but it's his first year and he'll get over it. And then they go into last year and he's tearing up the league and they're never behind at any point in the entire year, really. And then he gets to the playoffs and it falls apart again. And now it's this season where not only you lose to the Chiefs, you lose to the Titans, you lost to the Steelers, and they play the Steelers again on Thanksgiving night. And if they lose that, all of a sudden they're 6-5. They're a game and a half, potentially two games behind the Browns. Like, ugh.
And I'm not going to complain about the Browns being two games ahead of the Ravens like most fans are. I'm very happy with that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, it's very interesting to see, because I think he's a good player, but I think that he – I don't want to – God, you don't want to say this the wrong way because it'll come out wrong. But I wonder if he's to the point where he's like, you know what, I can't rely on what I did at Louisville in this league. You could last year because we'd never seen it before. But now I've got to go, okay – I've got to learn how to do all this other stuff too. And maybe it's just a matter of him working harder. I think he's an amazing talent, but something ain't right when they're losing these games that, you know, I mean, I hate to say like it's big games, but he's not good in big games. And that's just his resume. There's nothing I can do about that. It's just the way it is.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say did you want to build on that, or are you going to go something else too?
I was going to go about Monday Night Football stuff, but go ahead.
This kind of ties into Monday Night Football. So it's Rams-Buccaneers. And as I keep looking up and down the playoff standings, brings up an interesting question. Basically, the winner of tonight's game has the inside track at the number 5 seed, which would be playing the winner of the NFC East.
Essentially a bye.
Right.
And the Buccaneers are only their if they win, they'll be a game behind the Saints. If the Rams win, they'll be tied with the Seahawks for the third seed. So it kind of brings up the question of, do you want to play for the division title, or do you want to be the number 5 seed and play the Eagles or the Giants?
Like, I will just point out.
As right now, like, the Saints would get the bye. They'd be the number 1 seed. The Packers are the number 2 seed. They're 7-3. The Seahawks are also 7-3. The Bucks are 7-3. The Rams are 7-3. But the Packers would play the Arizona Cardinals if the playoffs started today. Whereas the Buccaneers would be playing the Eagles.
First off, if we're going to stay true to ourselves, whoever wins the NFC East, we have to root for them in that playoff game, because that's just the way it works. Whoever it might be, we have to say, okay, we're all in on these guys.
I'm curious to see if whoever wins the NFC East, if, like, once they get to the playoffs, okay, like, assuming they win all of their games and win the Super Bowl, are they still sub .500?
Well, how many playoff games are there?
Well, if they're 6-10, yeah, you'd have wild card round, divisional round. Conference championship, Super Bowl. That's four.
So yeah, so they were six. If they were 6-10, if a 6-10 team makes it and they win the Super Bowl, they're 500 at the end of the year.
Yeah,
but if the Eagles made it, they would be 6-9-1. So they could be over 500 if they won the Super Bowl.
Oh God, no, that can't happen.
All right, so go Giants is what you're saying.
Go Giants.
Who I will say again this week, I believe is the best team in that division, the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't know, with Andy Dalton and the Cowboys.
Great, by the way, Carson Wentz is not good at football, sir.
No.
That is NFC East leading quarterback, Carson Wentz.
I got to see him up close and personal yesterday. I'm just like, this guy's not very good. He's just not. I mean, he threw two of the dumbest interceptions I've ever seen in my life. One to give the Browns a touchdown, and the one towards the end of the game, which just took them completely out of it. And his passes were these lollipops that I was just like, wow, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm going, all right, who's our next guy?
Have we checked BBTV for the suicide prevention for BBTV on that?
No, I haven't been following it. It's I'm sure he's had a lot of fun stuff to say about it, though. Well, yeah, I thought he was terrible. I mean, like Andy, if the Bears start quarterback searching, leave this guy alone. Just let him. Yeah.
A couple things about tonight's game. So tonight, history, I guess. First historic thing, there's the first – oh, it is history, I shouldn't say, I guess. The all-black officiating crew will be doing
that. Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. That's pretty cool.
And it's also the first all-black uniforms playing each other in the same game.
Yeah, well, the fucking bone versus pewter matchup.
All bone was all pewter, and I was kind of like, maybe it'll work. And then I look at it on screen
it's
right
bad.
Now. I'm like, oh, that looks bad.
The only thing that makes sense is that like this was the head to toe pewter was the price the Bucks had to pay for going back to like their good uniforms, where it was like Nike was going like the Nike designers were having like nervous frets and then just twitching like you just want to go just like regular numbers and. And straight stripes on the pants? And the Bucks are like, yes. No! And it's like, fine, we'll let you design like head-to-toe pewter. And they're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, look what they did. They did that to the Chargers.
Yeah.
Did it to the Browns. Did it to the Bucks. Like, the great uniforms are like, no. You don't get away clean. You've got to wear this stupid shit, too. But I want to go back to I think would the pewter look good over white pants? I think it would. But I've not seen it in person, so I don't know.
I don't know if it would look good or not, but I'd be willing to give it a shot. The problem is that so many NFL teams seem really hesitant to actually experiment with their monochrome sets. Like a lot of those color rush jerseys, we were saying, you know, these would be good if they paired them with like white pants or contrasting pants. And they never did. They never actually broke those out. And so,
well, Mike, it's kind of funny you bring up the color rush things, because as far as I can remember and as far as I can tell right now, the last time that the Rams and Buccaneers played each other on Monday Night Football was the ketchup mustard game.
Oh, no. So what, have these two teams just signed like a death pact? Like whenever we play each other, we're going to wear our worst combinations?
It is entirely possible, and I would like this to not continue.
I think the Rams gave him a choice, Mike. They were going to be in their worst possible combo no matter what, basically.
Well, that's on the Rams for deciding that bone was an acceptable uniform color.
Do you guys remember a few months back we talked about the Rams color rush uniforms and compared them to what they have now, and we were like, oh my God, those look so good by comparison?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I would prefer a yellow alternate at this point. But but no, like to go back to Andy's original points, the all-black officiating crew, it's kind of amazing when it's taken this long.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what the hell took so long? It's not like black officials just started being officials 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the NFL, like, circulates its crews, or if it, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but are the crews like together season long, or is it just like they kind of shuffle around a bit?
I thought they were, but
I don't know. I know like baseball umpiring crews generally stay together. I know that.
Yeah, I had no idea about NFL crews. Like I knew specific officials. Like, I was like, oh, here's this asshole. He sucks. But, like, I've never really thought that much about, oh, you know, these guys always seem to be together. I guess I'm trying to think of if it would even matter. Like is chemistry even a thing you would be concerned about?
I don't know.
Well, this is something interesting. According to footballzebras.com, which is a real website,
apparently.
The definitive source on all stuff officiating. There we go. Mm-hmm.
The concept of a crew this season is not going to align with any other modern era season. Officials will be driving to most of their assignments when feasible. So they're regionalizing like groups of officials. So they're like, you know, this to for COVID precautions, like so that you're not having to fly on planes all the time. It's up to a 5-hour drive and only air travel when it's, you know, absolutely necessary. So the crews will be split up from time to time based on their organization, you know, how they're grouped. So in theory, yeah, I think the crew stay together for the entire season. However, this year there's a little bit more moving around than normal. So that's probably how they're able to put this together.
To Slapshot, one of our moderators on the boards, about this a couple weeks ago, he's a referee like Division II college, I think, or something like that. But that's what they're doing too. They have to drive, like he had to drive, I think, 6 hours to do a game and then 6 hours back and do the game, which took probably 5 when it was all said and done.
This website is fascinating, by the way, because not only does it say, you know, who their this list has, like the officials, their numbers, what crew they were on last season, what college they went to, and in most cases, what their day-to-day job is, what their normal 9-to-5 job is during the week.
Well, let's get on that path for just a second, because it's a lot of talk about this every year. Should football officials be a full-time job like baseball umpires are?
I would say yes, but the problem is it's not like baseball where you're needed every day, right?
Yeah.
So the idea would be you'd have to pay them more.
Sure.
To make it worth their while to work only once a week.
Well, the problem with the catch 22 of having full-time officials, and I mean, I'd be okay with full-time officials, is that when you have full-time officials in the NFL, does that sort of justify the constant kind of fluid nature of the recurring penalties, holding, pass interference, namely, to where it's like, well, you know, every day these guys show up to like film just like the players do, and they watch like penalties around the league and say like, well, this week, you know, we need to review. There's a few really egregious or controversial calls that determine the outcomes of these games. You guys need to study these and you know, but what is that like? How deep do you go with that?
Right, because you could make games really terrible if they got really picky about a particular call, like holding, which everybody says there's holding on every play. Yeah. Well, if you've got full-time officials, they might start going, hey, you know what? There's holding on every play, and we're going to call it on every play. Maybe that's not the best route to go. I don't know.
That's not my concern so much as, like, you almost, like, overthink to the point where
we're never going to call it? Like, that kind of, like, in that direction instead, you think?
It's more of, like, you know, you kind of overstudy the game to where it's, like, pass interference. You think less about it with your eyes because there's the rule of the, you know, let's say pass interference, for example. The cornerback did not get his head turned around to play the ball, stuff like that. But essentially, it's like, well, we spent all week reviewing these controversial plays, which the league says is pass interference, but my eyes don't say it is.
Oh, kind of like a catch.
It's something to where there's the weird nature of NFL officiating or NFL penalties. Some of them are just so completely open to interpretation that it's very subjective and it's mindlessly frustrating. So to have them be full time, it's like, well, what greater purpose does that serve? Will that actually improve the quality of officiating in some of these things, or is it just kind of, you know, we've kind of gotten the best we can get?
That's a good point. And, you know, speaking of that, we've had a lot of years where they've complained about the officiating being terrible. I haven't heard a lot of that this year. Have you guys? Not really. You haven't seen any where you go, whoa, that call cost them a game.
There's been a few questionable roughing the passer calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Well, there's been like, namely, and this is maybe this is my bias, but like, you know, there's been times where Nick Foles will just get the absolute shit beat out of him. And I have no love for Nick Foles. I think he's kind of a dog shit quarterback, but like, you know, he's a quarterback. He's a starting quarterback in the league for a major market. And he gets this kicked in the nuts and DDT'd onto the field and the referees don't say shit. But Aaron Rodgers gets like, you know, somebody like, you know, gives him like a pat on the back and they like flag him. They eject him from the game for roughing the passer.
And put him in jail for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Then they go and they shoot his family for like even thinking to. So, I mean, it's just like stuff like that. There's obviously, you know, there's clearly some sort of quarterback bias and I understand and appreciate that, but it's like
just inconsistencies.
Yes. Right?
It's a star system. It's the same thing. I mean, to bring it to hockey for a second, I think I can't remember what the quote was about Wayne Gretzky, but it was like, why does he never get called for anything? And somebody else said, because Wayne Gretzky puts money in all of our pockets or something like that. I don't remember. I'm paraphrasing wildly off of what was actually said there, but I think it's kind of the same thing where you can beat up on a guy like Foles and get away with it, whereas you're never going to get to do that with Rodgers or Mahomes or Brady. So well, it's but bullshit. I agree, but.
But to that end, I don't even think that that's the problem. I think it's just there's inconsistency no matter who the players are.
Yeah. Because
there's plenty of times where, like, some of these calls are pretty automatic at this point. Like, if you touch a quarterback's head, it's going to be an automatic call, except for when it's not. earlier this year, Jared Goff, he had his full freaking helmet turned around, and they didn't call it.
I saw that play, yeah.
Like, what is that? And then there's other plays where there's, like, the offensive pass interference. And you're kind of like, I don't see it, but okay. And then you see that same play 2 weeks later. It's like, oh, that's actually defensive pass interference. And you're like, it is? Okay. I don't know. It's just
wasn't there a game yesterday? A game yesterday where I forget it was the team was wearing white. I know that. I remember who it was. Scored a touchdown and they called it back on offensive pass interference. Maybe it was a college game I was watching. I don't remember, but when you ran it back. Literally nothing happened. It was as clean a play as you're going to see. Right. And it was like, what the hell? Who saw what there?
Yeah.
And it ended up costing them the game. I think.
I'm sure, Greg, did you watch the Packers-Colts game?
Yes.
Right before the two-minute warning at the end, there was like five straight holding calls.
Yep.
It was like, can you just let them play the goddamn game, please?
Well, that was, we talked last week about me missing the ending of things. That was another one where I thought that the Colts had gotten a first down. I'm like, that's it. You know, time's up. That's it. It's over. And I turned it off and I went out and did something else. I come back in the house and my better half goes, are you going to go watch overtime? I'm like, overtime and what? She goes, Packers, Colts. I said, there is no way that this thing went to, I also saw a play too where one of the Packer running backs, much like Jared Goff, had his whole head turned by the defensive player. They didn't call a thing. And so it's inconsistent. You're completely right about that. To get back on topic. Yes. Yeah.
And I'm personally, I'm fine with all Packers players having their heads turned the wrong way. That's fine with me. I mean, obviously, I think there's an implicit bias for the quarterback position, but then there's already a bias towards particular quarterbacks in there. But so like you mentioned, like let's just say again, Nick Foles, I bring up, you know, he's not a guy who has any weight around the league necessarily. He's a somewhat familiar name, I suppose, but he's not a draw. He's not a big moneymaker. For the league. But like that said, if he gets like hurt, for example, and there's no roughing the passer call or whatever on the hit that injures him, the third string emergency quarterback or whatever, Tyler Bray, nobody wants to see that. Like it's one thing if you have a shitty quarterback or a mediocre quarterback like Nick Foles, where you can kind of, he makes the game not absolutely miserable. It's another thing to where you've got like a clearly non-qualified, non-NFL caliber player playing nobody wants to see this. Like the ratings for it are not going to be as good as it would be. I just don't feel like there's any benefit to, like, you always want the starters, you always want the starting quarterback
available. Well, and to go off of that a different direction a little bit, you talk about like certain quarterbacks and this and that, but there's also teams that are, you've got the Cowboys, Steelers, Packers, who are some of the other marquee teams. I've never understood why, and you'll see them get a lot of calls, and I don't think anybody would argue with me on that. You don't see the Bears in that same, with that market and that fan base. Why aren't the Bears getting the benefit of a lot of calls like a lot of other teams are, like the marquee teams? Because the Bears are a legacy marquee NFL team with a huge fan base nationwide.
They don't have any players that are on the same level as an Aaron Rodgers or a Patrick Mahomes.
But, maybe not, well, not a quarterback, but they've had guys over the years that were pretty good. You know,
like a Khalil Mack is
biggest player.
But he's not the same entertainment wise as a great quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think, no disrespect intended to Khalil Mack, I don't think anyone's gonna tune in just to watch Khalil Mack. Whereas, you know, someone very well could, you know, probably does tune in to see Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes. And I mean, it's clear that there's a bias. There's always been a bias, but I just brought it up because I think that if you look at the officiating this year, it really is bad in the sense that, you know, you have some of these questionable roughing the passer calls. But, I mean, broadly, you know, as far as NFL officiating goes, it hasn't been nearly as bad as it was even a few years ago. Getting rid of being able to challenge pass interference was actually good. I'm glad that they tried it out just to say they tried it, but challenging pass interference was a total waste of everyone's time.
Well, not to mention the fact they seemed like they absolutely refused to overturn any interference call, regardless of which direction it went, offensive or defensive. They just weren't going to do it, period. But to back to the bias thing with teams for a second, all those holding calls against the Colts, I mean, if you were a conspiracy theorist, you're like, they want to give Rodgers a shot to get them back in this game. Because that's,
Aaron Rodgers, you know, I mean, besides the fact that he has some sort of weird occult, like the bodily soul sacrifice to the Dark Lord. You just know, like, I've seen this shit before. I've heard this song a million times. Like, watching that game where it's like, you know, he's going to chuck that fucking thing up and it's going to get caught and they're going to be in field goal range because that's what Aaron Rodgers does. And, of course, he chucks the perfect pass up to a guy who just happens to be mostly open, and he's right there in field goal range. And it's just like, this is what Aaron Rodgers does. I mean, they still lost. They still lost in overtime, but it's just like, again, the league gets off on having Aaron Rodgers chuck a Hail Mary because he's so fucking good at it. But I don't think there's any sort of, like, at least I would hope there's not some sort of earpiece exchange between the NFL and the officials where it's like, we got to get Rodgers one more shot to get that Hail Mary.
No, but what I'm saying is that when you see, what was it, Zach, 5 straight holding calls against the Colts?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then it was
8 straight plays or something. And you could hear the players, like, there was finally a play where there wasn't a flag so they could finally just go to the 2-minute warning. And I heard somebody in the background like, oh, there's no flag on that one, huh? No flag? We can play?
But, and again, I'm not saying this is what happens. I'm saying that the conspiratorial among us would look at that and go, yeah, the NFL is absolutely rigging this to make sure that Rodgers gets at least a shot to try to bring the team back, because that's what people tune in to see.
Because on every flag, the clock stopped.
Yeah.
and then I mean, the Colts didn't help themselves, because once they got on the other side of the 2-minute warning, they started throwing the ball instead of
running
it. I think they were legitimately afraid of getting another holding call on them.
I don't blame them.
and then Aaron Rodgers had enough time to go tie it, and it didn't matter in the end, but
it was a rare moment of the NFL where in the NBA they have an expression that's called ball don't lie, and this was the case of the NFL where ball don't lie, where the right team won, and Aaron Rodgers and his army of
darkness,
Satan,
Satan worshippers.
I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. I mean, I fucking hate Aaron Rodgers.
I think he's beyond like your Bears hate, Andy. I think he's kind of a shitty dude. Like,
I'll be the first to admit that.
It's one of those things to where, like, you know, Brett Favre obviously just had his way with the Bears for many years, and I have a begrudging respect for Brett Favre,
shucks, good old boy Brett Favre.
He's just chucking it around out there, having fun.
Yeah, it's to reporters, no big.
I mean, he literally didn't know what the nickel defense was. You know,
I spot that, Zach. That was funny.
What did he say?
Go ahead.
You know, dick pics. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dick pics and female reporters. But other than that, he's just having fun out there.
Sure. No, and I mean, you know, like, even the story about him not knowing what the nickel defense was, you know, like, that was, you know, interesting to me. Charming. He's very charming. So, like, even when he was beating the shit out of the Bears, it's like, yeah, you know, I look forward to seeing this guy on Vox and stuff like that. You know, he never really did that, but, I mean, he's still... When he's out there and available, he seems like a charming and third. Aaron Rodgers, he's just a dick. He's just an asshole.
You guys haven't appreciated heel turn Aaron Rodgers this season?
I don't think it's a heel turn, Mike. I think he's always been this guy.
It's not even a he's just leaning into it is what he's doing. He's really putting on the I don't really care.
I guess I could just say you're welcome for having the Bucks kick his ass.
So Chaos Blast though is right though. Rodgers is not the biggest douche. Is still Russell Wilson.
Yeah, at least Aaron Rodgers doesn't drive around with a suit in his trunk
that we know.
So I need you guys to explain this to me. So I mean, I've heard this a lot. You guys have been like really.
We hate him.
Really miserable about Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is the biggest piece of shit in the NFL, and I will stand by that.
Andy, there's a show a month or two before you came back where we sat down and really kind of went through the whole
hate Russell Wilson. Yeah.
Okay. We started at the beginning, and it just builds like a snowball. Yeah.
For his on the field. He's the luckiest goddamn quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
He is constantly
a fingertip's length away from being tackled. And the balls he just throws up haphazardly in the air always seem to find their man on the other side of it. It's just – it's infuriating. Well,
it's not like
– imagine an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary, but it's every single play.
like the way that I think we summed it up nicely was like you take like a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes or you know even Aaron Rodgers or dare I say one Thomas Brady, and it's one of those cases where it's like okay you give them the ball with 2 minutes left, you know it's going to be a precision down the field, they're going to make the plays they need to make to get their
Tom Brady can pull games out of his ass, but like he does it in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, he just hit his passes. Like, that's yeah. Whereas, like, Russell Wilson just, like, flails on the field and is, like, about to be sacked for a 25-yard loss, and he just pops it up there, and some bullshit Seahawks wide receiver comes down with it after being surrounded by five guys.
Like, tell me if this works.
Kyler Murray play against the Bills from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But again, on every single play.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
It's kind of like this. It's like his 2 minute drive is like the TV or movie version of a 2 minute drive where you just see all this incredible bullshit and go, that would never happen in real life.
This is just the on the field stuff. The thing that really like sends it over the top between like he's just the quarterback that annoys me is like the go Hawks at the end of every single goddamn interview.
Fuck him with that, right?
Like the corniest motherfucker I've ever seen, like
or what when he started doing the fucking like Friday Night Lights speech in the huddle my personal favorite after he lost that Super Bowl to the Patriots by throwing that interception on the goal line.
Yes, right.
He said God told me that he made me lose to teach the world humility.
Yeah, like you know how players always thank God for allowing them to complete that pass to win the game, Andy? Yeah. He said he thanked God for letting him lose the game on purpose.
So he could teach the world how to be humble.
Yes, and again, this is also the same guy that I don't know if he does anymore, but he carried around a tuxedo in his car just in case if he needed to.
Just in case he had to go Bruce Wayne on somebody or something.
Or, of course, there's the time where Cam Newton and the Panthers beat Russell Wilson, the Seahawks,
to Russell Wilson's slight defense, this isn't something he did.
No, it was a fan.
There was Seahawks fans that said it's a good thing that Russell Wilson lost because next week he'll be still getting that win by going to the children's hospital. And
Cam Newton might be going to play in the NFC Championship game, but Russell Wilson's the real winner, and it's.
Yeah, and as Jeremy points out, his kids fucking names too.
Oh my god!
Too.
Yeah, one of his kids' name is Win. What's the other one? Let me find it. They're bad. Russell.
Okay, let's see.
I'd argue in the world, kids. Not just in the NFL.
They have three kids, and their names are Win,
Sienna, Princess.
Win, lose, and draw Sienna, would be hilarious. Wilson. He'd almost get back on my good side with that.
Win, like W-I-N.
Yeah.
And the other one's like a normal name, I think.
See, that's kryptonite to us, Andy. You throw Russell Wilson out there, and we will go off for hours.
I remember I was doing some grocery shopping, and I saw Russell Wilson on a box of Wheaties, and it made me angry.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you saw this thing a couple over the offseason, I guess, Andy, but this was a video from a couple years ago that for some reason nobody picked up on, but picked up on over the offseason, where he like would just videotape himself going around the house and he'd be like, "Oh, I'm Mr. Unlimited. I'm gonna make these pancakes. Unlimited. I'm gonna tie my shoes. Unlimited." And it even went so far like his dog pooped in the house, and he's like,
"Unlimited.
Oh, unlimited dog poop in the house. Cleaning up the dog poop. Unlimited." It's just like,
For those of you that missed the episode where we explained our hate for Russell Wilson, that was kind of the
bullet points,
the Cliff Notes version of it right there. But yeah,
it's just a thing that like it built up slowly over time. And now, well, we can explain it.
Apparently, Russell Wilson has his stats have gone really downhill since he trademarked "Let Russ Cook." So
good. Fucking asshole.
I don't want to say he's winless since then, but like
they won on Thursday.
Yeah, because he started the season with like this like monstrous stat line, he's dropped off considerably.
The MVP. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
There's but one MVP
vote. Well, now he's still not going to get another one. So have fun.
No, there's one MVP in this league, and he plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's it. That guy
It's kickoff time. Bone versus pewter.
Oh, let's go.
The naming of your kid win destines them to be a loser.
Oh, like, yeah.
There's no,
tell me that kid's not getting his ass whipped every day at lunchtime in sixth grade. Come on.
By the time he gets to like pick his own name in elementary school, like, is Wynn? I prefer to go by Harrison. Like, okay. There we go.
Do you want to go by Wynn or something else? He's like, anything else.
He'll be like Dub or something. They'll have a different, you know, just something else.
Yeah.
Be like, you know, he'll be in rehab for black tar heroin, and they'll be like, I'm Wynn Wilson.
Like, now that's going to be it. That's a case where, like, that's years of therapy where he's just, like, ranting about the fact that they named him Wynn, like, on the therapist's couch, just like... Yeah. Anything. They could call me anything. Any normal ass name, but no.
They called me Legacy, but no, they called me Wynn.
They could have called him Jeff or something, at least, for fuck's sake. Come on.
Like, yeah. It's
Robbie.
Not like,
Robbie Wilson's a good name.
Like when Kanye West named somebody like Northwest and whatever.
That's funny, but it's unfortunate for the kid, but it's funny, but it's at
like,
least.
I see Kanye, it's like, okay, that's not a normal name. So you can, like, I understand where you think that it's okay to name people whatever. But your name is Russell. Like, if you told me somebody's name was Russell Wilson, I would assume he's probably a white dude.
Yeah, he's a Reggie Cleveland All-Star for sure. No question about it.
And then you're like, oh, it's this guy. And it's like, yeah, no. Just
be Robbie Wilson, son of Russell. That's shit. That's a movie writing itself right now. Nope, gotta be Wynn.
You think about like Owen Wilson and like his brother, whose name escapes me, Luke Wilson, you know, Luke and then Wilson, it's then Russell Wilson. It's like, well, that guy's probably white too. Was white bread, Wonder Bread, corniest motherfucker ever. And nope, it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I feel like
he is the whitest dude ever, but that's beside the point.
Your hatred of him, I find interesting to say the least.
Well, the other thing is like for Greg, it was the Russell Wilson games against the Packers.
Fucking
for me, it's the Russell Wilson games against the Rams, you know, twice a year. So
true.
It just kind of amplifies over time.
Well, don't forget, guys, I had to put up with that asshole for a season when he played at Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
As an Ohio State fan.
But he wasn't what he is now there, right?
Oh, like, he was still pulling shit out of his ass, believe me.
Yeah.
I think, somebody's going to check me on this, but I'm almost positive that there was a game where the Buckeyes were playing the Badgers and he pulled some bullshit to take the lead. And then the Buckeyes like went even further up their own asses and pulled out an even more bullshit play to win the game. I could be remembering that wrong, but I know there was a couple Hail Marys and I think the Buckeyes came out victorious. But yeah, the whole thing with me, remember that lollipop pass that he threw in the NFC Championship game for the 2-point conversion? That was it. That cemented it for me right there. That was the end of it.
Yeah, that's the thing is like he throws his footballs like straight up in the air. Like they're not like the normal kind of lower trajectory. They're always coming like straight down.
Yeah.
To go to a receiver. It's like, yes, to a degree, that is a skill, and good for him for figuring out how to do that. But at the same time, like, if you're the only guy that's doing that and nobody else is doing it, I want to chalk that up to some sort of luck.
But yeah, he's a pretty good player, but he's just we've got 8 years of hate that we've built on this guy, so it's gonna be tough to get us out of it.
That's all right.
But anyway, should we before we
Ohio
forget?
State game was a 29-33 game at the Horseshoe.
Okay,
and I can't click on the box score, so I can't tell you how it actually went down.
I might be remembering two. I might be conflating two games, or like the Buckeyes beat them on a Hail Mary one time, and he threw one in a different, like, you know, he was only there for one year. Okay, so I may remember them beating Wisconsin, but Russell Wilson wasn't the quarterback, is what I'm saying. Should we do spin the wheel and make the deal before we forget?
Sure, yeah. Well, I've got that pretty much queued up here. Let me just clear
all the... props to Mike for calling that Cowboys win last week. Whoa,
yeah, whoa, yeah, well done. Yeah, I'd say just to give everybody an update on where things are at, it was a successful week for everyone but Zach. Zach was incorrect in the... It was a close one, though. Cardinals Seahawks, that was rough.
Yeah, it was a tight one.
But me, Mike, and Greg were all...
I had to go with, you know, my principles.
Sure. Right.
Cowboys, Chiefs, and Colts were all the correct calls. But still, we have a two-way tie for first. Greg and Mike at 6-2. Zach at 5-3. I am keeping things cool in the back at 4-4. But I'm 500. Very Bears-like statistics there. So,
go ahead and I'm the poser at 5-2. I'm not as good as I look. I'm like the Browns of the bunch. Yeah, all right.
There's no skill to this whatsoever. So this is going to be Zach's pick here for week 12. Texans Lions. This is a Thanksgiving.
Oh, God.
This is on Thanksgiving? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving slate is like the traditional games, like the Lions game and the Cowboys game. Don't watch them. Texans Lions and Cowboys Washingtons. Like,
I'm watching Cowboys Washingtons. You better believe it, man.
Oh, man. I thought the Ravens were playing on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the Ravens Steelers at night.
Yeah. And that one's in the air because of COVID. I guess the Ravens had a big outbreak today.
And I saw there was a Pittsburgh writer who was like, I hope those COVID tests are real, trying to suggest that the Ravens were faking COVID tests.
Oh, fuck's sake.
To somehow delay the game against the Steelers.
That's a can of worms you should not responsibly open for any degree. That's bullshit. That guy should be fired.
No, the reason you're asking for it for yourself doing shit like that.
God, Lions.
Okay.
Romeo Crennel versus Matt Patricia. That's going to be
something. What a chess match between intellectual giants.
I assume that's the early game on Thanksgiving Day.
I'm sure. Yeah.
That will be the one that I sleep through.
That'll be the pre diarrhea game for America on Thursday.
Oh, man.
All right. So this is for Mike.
That's pretty unlucky. All right.
Sunday Night Football, Bears at Packers.
You're the basketball.
All right. Andy, I'm sorry, but Packers.
Dude, if it was my pick, I'd pick the Packers.
Hey, I picked against them last week, so it's not about
allegiances. Speaking of the Packers, the Colts. Not as bad. I watched most of that game. That's a good defense.
Yeah, if only the Colts could get rid of the stupid black swoosh on their white jerseys.
Yeah, well.
I was so excited because I forgot they were just on the white jerseys. I'm like, they're white. They're both white on the blue. And then I asked Zach. He's like, no, it's just the road. And I'm like, fuck. I thought maybe we'd. But yeah, I think the Colts are pretty good. Phillip Rivers had a little bit of Russell Wilson going yesterday, but we won't get into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Colts are an interesting team. I hope they make. I hope they're in the conversation and kind of. I mean, they could make some noise. The defense is pretty good.
And I got to say that my irrational confidence tightens every time I'm ready to quit them. They go out and do something great. Ooh, who's this?
Panthers. This is me. Panthers at Vikings.
Oh, this is another mid level.
This is a stuff game.
Yeah, sure is.
Man, I've already got a shit record. I need a break here. Panthers at Vikings. What are the Vikings? They win. They lost.
The Cowboys.
They lost the Cowboys.
Oh, they're right
at home. They lost the Cowboys at home.
I'll take the Panthers to win. Vikings are kind of shit. I think Adam Thielen is on the COVID-19 list too, so I don't think he's going to play.
Speaking of the Panthers, Mike, XFL quarterback, can't remember his name, but he started and got a win yesterday.
The quarterback for the Houston Roughnecks, I think.
Yeah.
The Omar broke-ass Oilers, as you call them.
Yeah, my broke-ass Oilers, yeah.
The Rams going on their like fourth kicker this season called up their XFL kicker. So XFL getting some play this year.
Yeah, AAF too with Garrett Gilbert or whatever the
Garrett
fuck
Garrett Gilbert, yeah. And The Rock says he's bringing it back, so.
I hope.
I keep getting XFL emails because I signed up for like a LA Wildcats list at some point.
Adam with the big save there. PJ Walker is
PJ Walker, yeah.
Former quarterback of the undefeated Houston broke ass Oilers from the XFL, yeah.
PJ Walker sounds like a very, I don't know, that name is very, I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of. It sounds like some sort of weird, like, 70s TV show character.
No, like you know, it's a 70s like he's not the main character, but he's the main character's best friend or something. Like that's who PJ Walker is.
I feel like he's like from Archie Comics or something. PJ
Walker. Does that mean that there's an edgy version of him on Riverdale or whatever that show is?
You ever watch that?
I've watched one episode of it and I didn't understand what it was supposed to be, and that was it.
As a youngster, I read a few Archie comics and I'm like, this is really dark compared to the comic book. Really dark.
I don't think the world was asking for the edgy reboot of Archie, but it got it.
It got it, and it got it good. PJ Walker, Texas Ranger. There you go.
sounds like an early WCW chopper. Yeah, he does.
All right, Greg, 49ers at Rams is your...
Take the Los Angeles Rams of Los Angeles in that one. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, the 49ers are playing with like their double JV squad.
I think they're pulling up entire XFL rosters at this point.
that will do it for Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal for week 12 until next week.
We've got Adam here. We just thank him personally for the wonderful logo he did for the ITD. Oh my God, it's amazing.
Indeed.
So thank you, Adam.
By the way, Greg, I found the play-by-play of the game you're talking about. So
you want to share it?
Well, it's not a video. It's just I have it like to read.
Okay.
With four and a half minutes left in the game, the Ohio State scored a touchdown. It looked like they were going to close the door. And then Wisconsin scored two touchdowns in like the span of a minute to take the lead with 1:18 to left to go in the game. Two touchdown passes from Russell Wilson, of course.
Yeah, cool.
And then with only 20 seconds left, the Ohio State went back down the field and scored a touchdown to take the lead. And then the Badgers almost tied it with an end zone throw, but didn't. So
there you go. Fuck you, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
At the time,
Wisconsin was ranked and Ohio State was not.
Fuck you and your whole bunch of angry Badgers, as you always say.
No, a whole pack of Badgers.
A whole pack of Badgers.
Because
He's
got to get the, again, another thing to add to the list why we think he's a corny loser. He went to NC State,
right?
And he went to Wisconsin, so
it's a whole pack of Badgers.
Pack of Badgers, yeah.
Yeah, fuck off.
Now I do have one more bit of news before we close it out here. It's hockey related, actually.
Oh,
so the Colorado Avalanche will finally get real,
yes,
equipment. So for those. 25 years later. So for those who don't know the story, when the Quebec Nordiques moved to Denver to become the Colorado Avalanche, it was kind of late in the game, and they had to scrap their initial identity because it was going to be Rocky Mountain Extreme, and everyone rightfully ridiculed them for it.
Rocky Mountain X, like capital X.
Yeah, X Extreme. It was awful. You guys can find the logos out there if you search it, and they're dumb. But because they kind of scrapped that and they became the Avalanche, there was this delay in getting the uniforms ready. So they didn't have time to get specifically made slate blue gear because it's a custom color and it would need to be special ordered. And they couldn't get it in time for the season. So the Colorado Avalanche, for their first season, rolled out with like black gloves and black helmets and black pants. Like basically stock standard, you walk into a hockey equipment store and you just buy it off the rack. Well, they won the Stanley Cup that year and they've kind of just kept it since then. So ever since then, the Colorado Avalanche have been skating out in like default standard generic black pants and gloves and helmets because that's what they had to do their first season, and they just so happened to win the Stanley Cup. Finally, 25 years later. For
their 25th anniversary season, this was kind of leaked over the offseason, where Nate McKinnon took like an Instagram story where he was like, oh shit, new colored gloves. And people were like, oh, well, what is this? And then they came out with the Nordiques jerseys. So people were like, oh, he's going to wear them with the throwbacks. Okay, that makes sense. And then like a day later, the Avalanche were like, actually, we're going to do the whole damn thing. So finally, yes, the Avalanche will have – black will no longer be their secondary color on their jerseys.
What a novel fucking concept.
What a novel concept. 25 years later, we're actually going to get team colored pants and gloves.
They wanted to make sure they were 100% certain about it before they
Here's the interesting thing. Apparently, this is also going to be paired with a slight change in the shade of blue on the jerseys to get them to match. Like there was like some color matching issues or something. So like the jerseys are going to be tweaked ever so slightly, but yeah.
I was going to say the graphics that people have tried to like put it on, even before they finally announced it, when people have been asking this for a while, it never looked quite right. Like, yes, as stupid as it is, like the story, as stupid as the story is, where it's like they're wearing stock gear, it worked.
Yeah. You know?
It's like, that's just what the Avalanche look like. And so now that they're going to look the same, but not the same,
it's going to be an odd adjustment. It's going to be really weird when I turn on like an Avalanche game and like they have matching pants and helmets and gloves and all that. It's like, this should look right, but it's wrong.
Are these pictures correct? Because that doesn't look right at all.
No, those are just Photoshopped. Those are just Photoshopped. Yeah, those are concepts.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, the Photoshops don't look – they look
No, that's no good. No.
Yeah, that one's a
navy blue on the bottom, so I know that
right.
one's
not right. And this one's
that's what it's supposed to look like. And you can see even just with that color how they have to adjust the jersey blue because it doesn't match.
Right.
So
either way, their logo's stupid.
Yeah. It should be on a 32-ounce cup at a truck stop.
I will ride for that logo.
No, I can't.
It's perfect for them. It's
perfect. I'm with Greg. It looks like the logo for like Mountain Raspberry Extreme flavored Powerade or something.
I've never gotten the soda argument. One of my friends says it looks like it belongs more like on toothpaste, which I can see a little bit more, but I still think it's a fine logo.
No, is it
it's like stop into the Pilot and get your 32-ounce Avalanche cup. That's what it is.
I want them to go to the Rockies inspired logo, the triangle. Not gonna lie, partially to see Morgo lose his shit publicly. Oh,
of course, that's a good enough reason.
I don't like that logo. I think it's too just like generic. Like it could be for anything.
You know, you want to know what my favorite Avalanche jersey has actually ever been though? It's the Rangers knockoff where they just have
the burgundy one.
Yeah, that was actually a really good looking uniform. I liked that one.
Well, it works for the Rangers.
I guess it makes sense because it's Avalanche. It's like tumbling down the uniform, I suppose. But no, the thing is, though, Zach, you just got to drive through the Midwest, stop off at like a Love's.
Right.
And like you're looking at all the cup selections and there's like medium, large. And then there's like the big styrofoam one.
Avalanche.
It's like a 2-liter that you can pour into that fucking thing and you fill it up with like icy.
Flavored icy. I've driven through the great west of the United States before. I don't know. I think it works. It's an A. It has the Avalanche coming down. There's a hockey puck in it. Like what?
No. That thing's straight from a truck stop of America.
Now you want to know what's going to be hilarious. I just realized this. In 15 to 20 years, people are going to be like, oh, man, we should bring back those retro Avs uniforms with the black pants.
Yeah, of course they are.
And it's going to be, and people are going to be nostalgic for some dumb thing that existed for 25 years because they couldn't get proper pants in time.
Hey, Mike, suck it. Rams touchdown.
Who scored it?
Robert Woods.
Damn it. I need Malcolm Brown. I need 5 points out of him, and I need 5 points out of the defense, and we'll be good. Oh, here
Malcolm
we go.
Let's watch.
This is just a uniform. This is still from the game. So I'll give you an idea of the uniform match. A lot of people are raving about this.
Who?
idiots.
Well, NFL beat reporters, namely.
Look at that. That is nonsense. That is nonsense.
It's awful.
I don't understand. It looks like there's something wrong with the TV set.
Yeah, like, no, right. It's like, is the saturation off?
Bill Barnwell of ESPN says this is the greatest matchup. This is the best jersey matchup of the season. So it's like,
NFL or any beat writers really being people that look at these things day in and day out, I find that sports beat writers, despite me wanting to be one, have the worst like jersey opinions out of anybody that covers sports. And it's so weird because it's like, you're the ones that are looking at it every week. How do you not know what looks good and what doesn't?
Sees this and is like, who sees pewter versus bone and is like, best matchup of all time?
Idiots. We've got a quick request, guys. Let me do this. Okay. Oh, sorry. There you go. There you go. Chaos Blast.
Hell yeah. That's what I love to hear.
I don't have anything else. This uniform matchup is
abysmal.
Well, so you guys, by the way, just so in case you haven't already heard, it is Thanksgiving in America on Thursday. So Canadians who had their Thanksgiving last month can shut up.
You mean the superior Thanksgiving because it came first?
No, I mean Thanksgiving where we graciously welcomed the intruder Indians into our meal and
the intruder.
The white Europeans that just came into the land and took it. They invited him to break bread before we committed atrocities for like 100 years.
So how a lot of my relatives see the whole thing.
They taught us about corn.
Mm-hmm.
And you taught us about how to get bent over and fucked is what you guys.
Oh,
anyway, we taught that to the slaves.
Something about a fish helps grow corn. I remember that. That seems like a thing. I don't know.
I think it does actually. I think like you let the fish rot over. It's like a fertilizer. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So obviously, you know, there's enough with Thanksgiving. There's enough like debate over the origins of it and all that stuff. But of course, it is the political state of things as it is. We can't even enjoy Thanksgiving anymore because now it's a political statement if you have people over.
It's not even necessarily if you have people over. It's just like, oh God, it's like that one uncle is just gonna be like, they stole the election, and it's like, oh God, damn.
I don't give a fuck if he talks about that. I'm worried about the motherfucker bringing COVID into the place is what I'm worried.
Well,
about.
He's all well because he's also a QAnon Trump conspiracy theorist. The same uncle has not been wearing a mask, and so he probably has COVID. So he's just going to give you all COVID
he'll show up. He'll show up in a mask, but one of those masks that he cut out the front.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't mean to make things political. I just thought it was funny. There's people who are like, there's my turkey. Come and take it. It's just like, come on.
Wasn't it Ted Cruz that like posted a picture? Because like I guess
Ted Cruz put it. Yeah.
Yeah. The Texas State battle flag is like a cannon and it says come and take it, but he replaced the cannon with a turkey.
A turkey.
He said, come and take it.
All right. Yeah. Well, I hope you guys have an awesome Thanksgiving.
I was gonna go to the boyfriend's and so that ended. So
you're not gonna be home by yourself, are you?
No, I will be. I will be. No, that's all right.
Staying home and like I say, I'm doing it in solidarity with Mike. I wonder if I could pull that off.
I'm going to be. I know it sucks because like on one hand I had I had plans that have fallen through and everyone else I know already has plans and so it's like I can't even do a thing where it's like I'll splurge on a ticket to go up and visit friends and family back home because. You got to quarantine for 2 weeks just to get into Canada. So it's like, fuck.
You know, I throughout this thing, I have stayed with one particular circle of friends that I know are very careful and all that. And I'm fine with that. Like if they invited me up to go to Toledo on Thursday. As long as there was only two or three of us, I'd go. What makes me nervous is when I have to go around people that I don't know what the hell they've been doing for the past 9 months. And that's what I've got to do this Thursday.
I'm like,
I'm not one to panic too much or think that, that having people, I think that if you have a, like, if you have 50 people at your house for Thanksgiving, you're asking for trouble. Whether you'll find it or not is up for debate, but you're certainly asking for it. And to me, it's like, if, you know, four or five people, I'd probably be okay. Maybe not, you know, I don't know. I really can't get into that because I don't have Rob's permission, but there's a story about Rob I could tell that would really kind of just, you go, well, fuck, what are we even doing at this point? But I won't get into it because I don't have his permission to talk about it. But, you know, if you're going to have like 50 people at your house, then, you know, you, somebody starts spreading it around, you don't get to blame anybody else, you know, simple.
I'm actually thinking about, I'm actually considering just, you know, for a few days getting out of the house, just getting like a, you know, getting a hotel room, you know, by the beach or something and just chillaxing. I don't know.
Hey, can I come down and hang out?
We'll come down. You know what, Greg, you can come down.
I'll get my own room. We'll just kind of like sit on opposite sides and yell at each other from the balcony.
No, you can come down and we can watch highlights of the Orlando Apollos championship season.
Fuck, I am there, dude. What do you want to do this?
Take aim.
Be like, people be like, who are these two idiots if they're getting all excited about the fucking AAF football from 2 years ago?
You're just gonna
stop it. Walking. You don't understand. You just don't
people
understand.
People walking the streets of Tampa just hear yelling from the balcony, take aim.
Take aim.
Garrett Gilbert, motherfuckers.
Everyone's sucking, like, oh my God, take aim at what?
Oh, yeah. No, probably not a good idea to shot. Yeah. Take aim.
In retrospect, maybe not the best marketing slogan, but
not these days. Probably not. No. Anyway, guys, we ready to wrap it up here? Or
yeah, I think I'm good to go.
All right, I know that Zach and Mike have a football game to watch. I need, please, Rams. This is the best thing. I started my fantasy season 1-5. I've managed to win 4 in a row. I'm at 500 now. If you can get me 10 points, I will win this week. That's all I'm asking for. So let's go, Malcolm Brown and the Rams defense. What's his
prayers
name?
Up?
What's his name? The running back, is that right, Zach? Malcolm Brown.
Malcolm Brown. Yes,
he's yeah. One touchdown, bro. That's all I need. Just one.
He's usually the guy they use in the goal line. So
cool. Excellent. That's, perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, you know the routine, folks. Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasting is sold. We got rid of Spreaker because I checked it, and no one since we started doing this. We've had zero listens for like 5 episodes in a row. I said, you know what? I'm not doing the work anymore. The hell with it. Nope. So we'll see you next time.
Sorry to you, Spreaker guy.
Yeah, sorry about that. Come find us somewhere else. All right, we'll see you next time, folks. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Latest.
Bye-bye.